Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the final episode of Pyro Toasty Talks for the season of 2025. We've been gone for a hot minute, but we're back for a slightly hotter one-ish hour about a time. With me, I have Renee. Say hi, Renee.
Hello.
And also Brian and Zona of BZ Furfur.
Hello.
What up, people?
Perfect. Today, we are doing our yearly wrap-up, and I think we are mostly just going to be chit-chatting. So this is an excellent time to start that load of laundry that you've been putting off, or consider prepping dinner while listening to your favorite podcast.
It has been a while. We haven't recorded in probably over a month with just shows and travel and other things. How have you two been?
We have been very, very busy. A lot of those big show travels were, like, we did that big trip down to Texas. And while the Texas part of the trip was a lot of fun, the business part of the trip did not work out quite as well as we had been hoping for.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
So we've found that this year has just overall been a tough year.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some good wins. Like, yeah. Up in Bar Harbor was fantastic. A lot of the shows have just been hard.
But, like, sales in general have been hard. Sales have been so much lower. Wood sales have been down. We've lost a couple of timber doodles who have peaced out. Like, everything has kind of been on the decline, which is not great.
And I don't think it's isolated to just us or just people who, you know, just wood burners or even just artists. Yeah. I mean, we've had hearing the same story from people at every market. There are markets that are talking about, you know, like cutting certain events out because they're just not doing well. They're not getting the traffic. They're not getting the sales. I think it's just been a rough year. I'm hoping that, you know, we see a rebound next year.
That would be great. That would be really nice.
Well, you mentioned Bar Harbor. How was Bar Harbor? I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
Bar Harbor was really great. I had made 3 brand new pieces right before that show, and I brought all 3 of them with me, and all 3 of them sold. And I almost shat my pants, because it was just...
They were big money pieces.
Yeah, like, nice. My snake was a $700 piece. My sunflower was a $500 piece. Actually, no, wait, I think I had 4 pieces? Regardless, it was good. It was really great. We didn't really know what to expect because, you know, everything's just, you hear what other people say. Some people are like, oh, it's really great. Oh, it's kind of slow. Whatever. So, like, it's a mixed bag of reviews, so you don't know what you're going to get until you get there, and it ended up being really great.
Congratulations. That sounds like an awesome win.
It was our best show ever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Even better than you had one like 2 years ago that you had done. It was like the first juried show that you did excellent at.
Oh, Rittenhouse. Yes.
Yeah. Better. Yeah.
I think we over 3,000 for the weekend, which is pretty
nice. That's,
in Bar Harbor?
Yeah. Rittenhouse was only like 2.
I think we were like 3,600 for Bar Harbor.
Yeah.
Which is really great for us.
Yeah.
That's really great for anyone, I think. It's really, that is a very, very nice turnout.
Yeah.
You know, you hope that every show can be like that.
I know. I was like, is this what success feels like?
Yeah. And we had the added benefit. My mom wanted to come along. And so she was like, well, we'll stay for a week. Like, she wanted to come along and experience Bar Harbor and Acadia again. And so she, like, covered the cost of the Airbnb. We covered all the costs of food. And then it really saved us on, like, expenses to be out there. And it was great. Definitely going back next year.
Already on the books. Already booked. Already paid. Already accepted. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes. Yeah.
When does their applications open? Right at the end of the year?
No, they're already open.
Yeah, they're open now. It's just a guy. So you can go on to Zap and apply. But I think, I don't know when they announce their actual juried stuff. So, like, since we got in before, we were pretty much automatically in again. I don't know if the other people might want to apply and they would have to wait a little bit longer.
And that's nice being subsequent times, because then people know you, people recognize you, and sometimes people come back for you.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. You know, some of those big pieces went to people that lived in Bar Harbor, and some of them went to people on the cruise ships. So I don't know if the cruise ship people will necessarily be back, but you never know. Some people say you got to go to shows like 3 years in a row to build up like a following. And I'm kind of like, I don't know how you can afford to go to like to just go and lose 3 years in a row at a show until you start making money. Hopefully it'll be just as good again next year.
I mean, that's a pretty good baseline, right? I mean, even if it's not as good, you know, that's still like you have a pretty good idea of what you're capable of selling there.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a good sign.
And yeah. One of the days was rainy. Mm-hmm. So if we had two good days, like, who knows?
Yeah, I know, like, we've gotten some of the shows that we are looking to get to go to next year are... We've gotten the invitations.
Good.
And we're like, these are shows that we want to go to, but one, we have to come up with the money to get in. We have to put in the application. Mm-hmm. And then there's at least four of them. They're either going to be the same day, so we have to decide which one we want to actually go to. And we're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Which one are we doing this year? Because it's like, we're not sure which one we want to do. Because they're both ones that we want to do, and we're like, uh-oh. We have decisions to make.
Yeah. Are they all the same day in the same general area? Because you guys don't travel far.
No. We have stayed away from, like, out of state because of logistics.
They're mostly cities in North Carolina. So yeah. It's a lot of stuff in Charlotte, and then there's some stuff in the outskirts of Charlotte, and then we go usually about as far up as Raleigh.
Yeah.
We've been looking at shows in, like, Asheville and up near Smoky Mountains, and, you know, we've talked about going out to, like, the, you know, the coast, like Myrtle Beach and Oak Island, Ocean Isle, and those areas out there, which I think will be... are great. Like, they kind of fall into the same category as Bar Harbor. It's like you go out there and it's kind of the big money areas. It's people who are, you know, a lot of vacationers out there, people who have beach houses and stuff like that, who are looking to decorate. They're looking, but it's finding the right niche for that. Like, that's where I think it's going to be tricky. Like, I don't know. I think honestly, the type of stuff, wood burning, is going to do better out west in the Smoky Mountains area than it's going to do out by the shore. Like, I think that fits. It fits more the motif of a nice cozy cabin than maybe a beach house. But I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. When we're having good shows because we're moving our big pieces, it always seems like the people are buying them because they want to look at them every day, and so they're not going into a beach house. They're going into wherever their normal house is. I mean, if you're gonna drop $700 on a piece of art, you want to see it more than, you know. So I don't know how that works. I also see the beachy people in, like, Ohio, and they do really well in Ohio because people are like, oh, a beach, a concept of an ocean.
Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to go out to the beach and we can sell pictures of mountains.
Yeah, you never
like
know.
Like bears, Sasquatch.
I think it depends on what the art is.
Yeah.
What it is what's going to sell, right? Because you've got rustic art versus, like, finished edge art, right? The fact that it's on wood is unique, but then it's what's on the wood, what's on the canvas makes a difference, and then where it is, right? I think there's a couple of different factors, but you have to cater it to where you're going. I don't think like live edge art is going to work well in every area. Like Smoky Mountains, yeah, it's, I think live edge is absolutely going to work there versus like a finished edge, right? But go to somewhere like the Heart of Charlotte, I think something finished is going to do better there than
live edge. Yeah, they're looking for things that are more contemporary. So I think that there's, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, finding the right market for the right particular concept and technique and medium. I wrote down some questions because as executive producer, I feel it's my duty to have some questions prepared.
Great. Execute.
So I wanted to know from both of you, what was your best memory?
What's my best memory from 2025? My days are all jumbled together at this point. Her.
Well, her? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Do you want to tell people hands who down, maybe are new to the podcast what her is?
Getting it. You know what? Her in general, getting into the Mint. Getting into a bona fide museum. Getting a piece chosen, juried into a bona fide museum. That, I think, is that was the highlight of my year. And then getting that piece into a bona fide gallery.
Yeah, I don't know if...
the highlight of my year, hands down. Instead of it sitting in my walk-in closet, and I'm terrified that I'm going to trip over it and put my foot through it.
So just for people who are new to the podcast, earlier this year in the spring, we had entered one of Zona's pieces into a art show with the Guild of Charlotte Artists. That piece was called Her Sovereignty, and it sat in the Mint Museum for several months.
It was a month?
Okay. We got it back, and we found a new home for it. It is currently at the Visual Arts and Performing Arts Center in Charlotte, in Uptown Charlotte. And it is sitting amongst pieces from other local artists in the area. So that's a big accomplishment.
In conjunction with 9189 Studios. Galleries.
Yes. Our friend Joanne over at 9189, she was the one who selected her piece to be part of that gallery. So it's a very, very big win for us. And we potentially, they're going to be doing another show at the Mint Museum with the Guild of Charlotte Artists next year.
And 2026, we are. This time it's going to be 3 months. And it's going to be even more
selective.
Selective, because now it's 150 artists, pieces are going to be selected for the exhibit this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be 3 months. So I got to get a move on.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get a move on.
How about you guys? What is your best memory of the year?
Best business memory, I think, is going to be Bar Harbor, because it felt so unreal, and it was like the most success I've ever had with selling my art. So it was very reaffirming. It made me feel like not a terrible artist, because like I have this feeling sometimes that like it's just the imposter syndrome, like I'm not a good enough artist. I don't know what I'm doing in this world. Like, no one wants to buy my art for the price that it is. So, like, whatever. But in Bar Harbor, it actually sold. And there were people who were willing to spend their hard-earned money on my work. And it was like, I just couldn't believe it. It's the most success I've ever had. So,
you had your moment.
Yeah, I had a moment. And I was like, man, okay, I don't feel like a fraud now. Like, I don't know. That's just how it felt.
Bar Harbor was pretty great, because especially then coming off of a super successful show, and then that was when, afterwards was when we got to do all of our tourism. So we had just had, like, a great show, and then we got to explore, like, Acadia National Park and do all those fun things. So that was an excellent traveling artist experience.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Texas, less so.
Business-wise, Texas was not good, but fun-wise, Texas was great.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
And there's so many great places to eat in Texas.
There is a lot of good food.
Yeah.
Ribs.
You're laughing, David. I don't know why that got a chuckle out of you. I want to hear. I figured there's a story behind that.
Because Renee is often very... Renee doesn't love Pennsylvania food normally. And she's not entirely wrong. It is a different type of food than Texas food. And so I remember when we finally, like, we would start driving south for shows and we, like, cross the Mason-Dixon line and Renee's someone like, oh, good food again.
Well, what is your reaction when somebody says, hey, let's go get barbecue in Pennsylvania?
Why bother going?
Yeah, her reaction is always like, it's not going to be real barbecue, so I don't want to go.
Just come to my house. We'll just have better food here. Like, I'm not paying barbecue prices at a shat barbecue place. No.
Have you ever had North Carolina barbecue? It's different.
I know.
It's a lot of, like, vinegar-based barbecue sauces. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, I don't think we have. Like, we go to the Outer Banks every summer, but we never get barbecue, now that I'm thinking
about
it.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to, what kind of barbecue you're going to get in the Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Charlotte's not great either, but I mean, there's definitely, you know, like, some good barbecue in certain parts of North Carolina.
I think it depends on where you go. We found a couple of places that are good.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the next time you guys come to North Carolina, there's a couple of places that I would love to take you for noms.
Mm-hmm. Noms are good. I always like good noms.
Yes. There's a couple of places I would love to take you for noms.
We got rejected for our show that we applied to in Georgia, so there's...
And the one in Tennessee. Did you see that this morning?
I didn't see that this morning.
Yeah, I deleted it immediately.
So that means that's two shows that were down your way that were...
Yeah, I'm pretty upset about both of them, actually.
What city in Tennessee was it?
Chattanooga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Chattanooga.
I know.
Dang it.
You seem like a Chattanooga guy.
It's pretty rude. It's pretty rude that we got rejected.
Our first time, we were traveling back down to Texas for Renee for some reason. I think we were picking up the rest of her stuff. And we stayed over in Chattanooga, and then we, like, got up the next morning and went to breakfast in the city at a cafe somewhere. And they were jumping, like, line out the door, standing on the sidewalk, busy. And they came out, and they were like, we have a table of four available if anybody doesn't mind sharing. And Renee and I were like, yeah, sure. And so we met a lovely couple and just had a Chattanooga, fantastic.
Yo, Chattanooga. Couple. That's.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that's just good vibes.
Yeah, we made friends. Two sets of strangers, and we're like, yeah, I don't mind sitting at this table. Americans, we like our space. Like, we don't like sitting too close to people. We like our space. Like, but this was very European.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Yes, like that's just like that in the Philippines also. Like, where they put families.
Yeah.
Like, you're rubbing elbows with people.
I mean,
it's just like,
not a single spare.
Want to have food with us?
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's just like, want some?
Yeah.
You know?
There wasn't a single open.
I'm an American and I like my space.
Huh?
I'm an American and I like my space. Please stop slamming into me.
You would not do well, sir. No, yes, the hell you would. You would. You so would.
He already wouldn't do well in the Philippines because the sun hates him.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true. I would
burn
fry
him
up.
It would just eat him alive.
You would have to bring
He'd
an urn for the
off
return
the plane,
trip.
Look like a...
Oh my god, he'd be like a vampire in the Philippines. He'd walk off the plane and just like, woof.
Did he?
Instant.
I'd carry around one of those sun umbrellas.
You would have to.
One of those, you would have those little like dunce cap with the umbrellas that comes off. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm into it. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Zona loves this idea. Get him one for Christmas. Put it in a stocking and say it was from Santa.
AKA Renee.
It's so good.
Make sure to donate to Pyro Toasty Talk so we can buy Brian a sun hat.
To donate.
I want to get a branded Pine Sucks sun hat.
Perfect. You will get all the best looks.
No one will understand.
Why I'm wearing a dunce cap with an umbrella that says Pine Sucks?
No one will understand. It's fine. Oh,
somebody will. Somebody out there listening will.
No, you know what would happen? Somebody would just give you like one of those bamboo hats. Like the ones that they wear when they're in the rice fields.
Okay.
Incredible. I want one so bad, but it's one of those it's one of those things that as a white person you just can't wear. Like it just looks like you're being racist.
But I can if somebody gives it to me.
Well, that's true, but you need to have like a shirt that goes with it that says, "I swear somebody gave this to me. I'm chill."
I can get a certified letter.
He could wear it if he's with me because it's almost like, oh, well, he's with some Asian-looking girl.
I'm Filipino by proximity.
So just for the record, there are rice hats, and they're actually called rice hats on Amazon for like $40.
No.
Or there's a six-pack for $70, and then we could all have a rice hat.
Why does Amazon sell everything by the six pack?
I don't know.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
For rice hats.
Do you have an affiliate link for those rice hats?
Hey, for what it's worth, that would be burnable material. You could decorate it.
Oh.
Oh! You could burn rice fields on the rice hat.
I would do it outside because it looks like it's got some sort of finish on it, but it is doable. Yeah.
This is fancy.
You gotta send me the link on that. Send me the link on that because I gotta see this.
All right.
Okay.
I gotta see this.
How about you, David? Was your favorite moment of the year also Bar Harbor?
I think I had some of the most fun. I mean, it was a great business moment for us at Bar Harbor. I do also want to shout out that this was the year of our Timber Doodle retreat. It just seems like it was like ages ago.
That's true. That was
And that was a lot of fun too.
That was awesome.
Yeah. We had a great time. I enjoyed mostly cooking for everybody and getting to be everyone's like tour guide dad, which is a role that I feel born to play, but Renee gets mad at me for doing it.
I don't get mad at you for doing it. I get annoyed when you say the same thing over and over and over.
I can't help it. It's in my DNA.
Yeah, like when I first moved up here, there's this ski resort mountain that you can see in the distance, and it's called Ski Round Top. So when I first moved up here and David was pointing out landmarks, he was like, "You see that mountain over there? That's Ski Round Top." And he told me, like, every time we were on the highway, "Do you see that mountain over there?" And one day I was like, "What, is that Ski Round Top?" And he just looked at me. And I'm like, "You tell me this all the time." So now he has a complex about repeating information.
But you remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do know that that is, in fact, Ski Round Top.
And you'll never forget it. Nope. And now everybody
now
does.
Now everyone knows.
All of our listeners do as well.
For what it's worth,
we'll put a picture of Ski Round Top in the Discord.
It's a great landmark because even at night, all the slopes are lit up and you can see it for miles. So you can always find your way home if you can find Ski Round Top.
This is true.
I probably did the same thing with Carowinds with Zona when she moved here because you could see Carowinds from like every direction on every major highway.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Carowinds that you kept saying that about, but there was definitely one place that you kept saying that about, and I was like, babe.
I got it. Babe. I got it.
Exactly. It's like, babe. Mm-hmm.
I get
mm-hmm.
excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's very satisfying to know a piece of information and to be able to share it with mm-hmm. somebody.
Absolutely, babe. So, babe, what was your favorite moment of 2025?
It was not related to pyrography or art.
Was it the bird people?
The bird people were up there, but they didn't quite trump my son going to college. My favorite moment of the year was Matthew going off to college. So he started his first year at North Carolina State University. Drove him up there, been up there a couple times to see him, and he's doing great. He's really made some spectacular progress over there. He's making friends. He's doing well in his classes. He's participating in extracurricular activities. He's getting into trouble. He's doing all the things he should be doing while he's in college. So
good.
Just very, very satisfying to see him starting his own life, being independent, and it's going to be nice to see him next week for Thanksgiving. So,
yeah.
That's good.
It is all good. So that is probably my favorite part of this year. And then the bird people. Those bird people were pretty spectacular, too.
Clearly that's something that he mentioned quite often.
The bird people are great.
No, more so than the bird people was Buckbeak.
Oh yeah, the parrots.
I think a lot about Buckbeak. Mm-hmm. I wish that Buckbeak lived with us.
Listen, we gave you options. We told you how that was gonna happen. You said no.
Yeah,
so.
Don't pay the mortgage on the house for 8 months and adopt a bird.
No, we told you the kid doesn't have to go to college. We don't have to pay for the kid's college. That's what we told you.
Well, that is.
We all told you this.
That doesn't work that way.
Unless no. Buckbeak is secretly a tutor and able to teach.
I mean, they are, I think, the smartest parrots. They have the African greys have, I think, the most extensive vocabulary of any parrots.
Well, you still
all
have...
I'm saying.
You still have plenty of time to adopt a parrot in your old age, and then it'll be somebody else's problem when you
I'm
pass.
Already in my old age.
Maybe at heart.
Shut your face. Listen, shut your face with this old age nonsense, sir, okay? Because let's not talk about age and actual birth years, okay? Let's not talk about that.
If you were to sum up 2025 in one word.
Oof.
Is that your word of choice?
I don't know. I don't think oof is my word of choice.
I think it's pretty good.
I think that is a pretty good word for it. Roller coaster.
Roller coaster? It's a compound word.
Yeah, that's still
one. You didn't say it couldn't be a compound word. You just said a word.
Roller coaster, okay. Why is that?
Because it started off really strong. We had a really amazing first half. It was really, really high. And then it took it slowed down a lot.
I mean, CIAF was good.
I didn't say that CIAF wasn't good. I'm just simply saying that it slowed down a lot at, second half of the year.
Well, let's hope we're on an incline now for the end of the year.
I'm hoping that OMB, our next two shows, which are going to be really physically taxing, but I'm hoping they're going to pay off.
2 weekends at Old Mecklenburg Brewery.
2 3-day weekends back to back.
3-day weekends. First one is Black Friday weekend, and then the following weekend. Outdoor markets. It is going to be cold.
It is
going to be long. Those are like 10-hour days. 12-hour days. 12-hour days. But it's outside of a German restaurant, and they have delicious sausages.
Last year was good. I'm just hoping that this year matches. I'm gonna hope that it matches. I would love to say that I hope that it's better, but I'm just going to hope that it matches.
All right, roller coaster.
Less, there's less vendors this year in the market.
That's a good and a bad thing. It's a good and bad thing.
So I'm just going to hope that it matches last year.
All right, roller coaster. What about you guys?
I feel like, I mean, I imagine across the course of an entire year, roller coaster probably sums up everybody's year. Because there is lots of ups and downs. I would say this has been a year of lots of challenges. Not like, sometimes we win and sometimes we lose, but we've been doing a lot of like new and difficult things in 2025. You know, not even outside the business, there's just been like, well, we tried to have a second car and that didn't really work out. So I had we had a second car for about 4 months and it's going to go away now.
Really?
It's just too much work to keep after. So I'm just going to try to sell it for what I paid for it. And part of that is because we live in a section of Pennsylvania with stricter inspection laws. Part of that's the car. Do what you do.
Part of it is probably also the fact that Pennsylvania roads take a toll on cars. The salt and everything from the snow removal tears up the bottom of those cars.
Yeah. So it's been, you know, it's been a year of difficult things, but I don't know. There have been good parts in that, right? Like Bar Harbor, as good as it was also still a challenging, like, we had to get everything in the car minus an extra spot for a third person. Yeah, we had to get everything in the car minus a spot for my mom to ride with us. And then it's a 12-hour drive. And that was also, weather-wise for that show, it didn't end up impacting us too much, but there were a couple of vendors that lost like half their stock to a windstorm that blew through. And like they lost their tents. So it's been a year of challenges, and sometimes we win and sometimes we lose.
How about you, Renee?
I would say busy. We've just been so damn busy. And some of it's been good busy, like travel busy, but I just feel so behind on so many different things. So many different things, like haven't been able to get ahead of the game, and that can be really frustrating at times. But busy, I would say.
What I feel about
that.
You?
I would say bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's been a lot of good things, but that have happened this year, but you know, they also kind of come at an expense. I was just talking about Matthew going off to college. You know, as much as I'm happy for him, it's sad to see him, you know, see him go off on his own. You know, the same thing with CJ. He's grown up and he's becoming an adult. But at the same time, I'm seeing him less, spending less time with him. You know, where you're getting into, you know, more... getting more exposure from an art standpoint, but at the same time, you know, we're now competing with a different class. And it kind of, we were talking about this the other day. It's, we're kind of in this, like awkward stage where we're can no longer really perform at the craft markets because our prices are too high, but we're not quite at the same level as some of the other fine art booths when we go to art shows. So we're at that, like, that middle child, you know, like awkward teenage years of our business. You know, we were doing great as, you know, at the craft markets because her quality of her stuff was so high, but when you have to raise the prices, all of a sudden you have to start competing with a different class of people. So that's a positive thing. We're kind of moving into this, to this new arena, but it's also kind of bittersweet because, you know, we're no longer the big fish in a little pond, right? We're now the little fish, and we've got to work our way up. So I think there's just a lot of things that have shown promise this year, but I think we've still got a lot of room to grow, and there's a lot that we still have to there's a lot that we still have in front of us.
Yeah,
I just want to get in the damn pond.
You are in the pond.
I'm not in the pond yet.
I mean, we did do Artsplosure, which Artsplosure was that was a Fair. Big pond.
I want to get there's okay, let me rephrase. There are certain ponds I would like to get into that I feel like we're being blocked from, and it's the reason that we're being blocked from that pond that's pissing me off. Let's put it that way.
Fair. And those are that is what makes it a bittersweet year.
You call it bittersweet. I call it aggravating.
That is why I get to choose my own word.
That's fair.
The show entrance, like the application thing, is a very frustrating process. We've been like not in on a couple of stuff because we carry small items, and it's like they want you to only have big things, and it's one of those, well, if I only carry big things, then like I'm really putting all of my eggs in one basket, and there's a decent chance that it's not going to work out. You know, it's just one of those, it takes a long time to make the jump from craft market confidently into juried shows.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. And like we were talking about what we're thinking about doing next year. Like, where are we going for 2026? That's what we've talked about. And we were talking about how we don't want to do a lot of markets next year, and how we want to go more into shows. But that means bigger investment, because the shows are going to be more expensive. That means taking the time to make the show quality stuff, though, right? Because it's not ornaments. It's not, you know,
earrings.
You know, smaller things. We're talking art. You know, we're talking like the big, the art quality stuff now. So, yeah.
Plus, not and the investment in the booth itself. Yeah. There's a lot of shows that would turn you away because you have an easy up, if that's what you have. I don't know if you guys are still on an easy up or not.
We have an ABC, which is similar to a.
Okay.
Similar to an easy up.
I feel like I've seen ABCs at some, but I can't remember. I mean, and there's a lot of shows that will specifically, like, they'll go by brand. And so when you submit your booth shot, really? If it doesn't have the right brand, they're like, no.
Really? Okay. I'll have to look out for that. I haven't.
Usually they list it in the application.
Okay.
And that can save you the $35 of applying. It's important to read those.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't looked into those. Like I said, we've talked about looking into those more. Like, there's a show in Baltimore that I'm looking into. But it's part of another guild. It's part of another craft guild.
But we might be joining them.
We haven't decided whether we're going to actually join that craft guild yet. So.
Yeah, guild shows are usually pretty good. So if you can get in, it's usually worth it.
I know I have a friend that did the Baltimore show, that particular Baltimore show last year. And she's a jewelry designer.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she did really well.
Yeah.
So.
This is the same. Thinking about it. This is the same woman that Zona does the modeling for on the catwalks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Were you not aware of that?
I'm not super aware of it, but.
I thought we talked about it on the podcast, but I mean, we might have, and maybe we've talked about many things. Yeah, no, Zona was doing modeling for her modeling some of her jewelry at some of the local fashion shows.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, I've been refreshed. My brain remembers now.
You've got a better brain than me. All right, so the other question I had, so last year we did this, and I thought this was really good. I don't know if y'all have new answers, different answers than you had last year, but last year we picked, like, who some of our favorite artists that we discovered were.
I'll jump in, because my answer's not going to be particularly interesting or helpful, because I can't remember any of their names, but we met... we met in Texas a really cool glass artist at our one show, he was super fun and chill, and at the end of the show he gave us some of his pieces that he was like, I don't think I can sell these, so do you want them? And that was pretty cool, but he was great, and our neighbors on the other side were this family from like California that had been on the road for like 3 months doing shows, and just kind of like hoboing around the United States selling things. And
that's amazing.
They were just a lot of fun to hang out with. So I don't follow people for their work. I just really enjoy meeting the new artists at shows and having a good time.
I've discovered a few artists this year. One of them is a guy named Leif Erikson.
Of course.
He was just like, I just got to talking to him, and I mean, like kindred spirits type of thing. Mm-hmm. But his art was super cool. Like, it was completely out of the ordinary. It was these kind of like humanoid animal things. It was very much his own style. And he did everything in these kind of odd-shaped, he did a lot of kind of like three-dimensional, like shadow box type stuff. Mm-hmm. And everything that he did, from the artwork itself to the presentation of the artwork to the way that he framed it, like he didn't just have things in square frames. He had them all these different shaped frames. And I just absolutely loved his work. I've actually got one of his, I bought a sticker from him while I was there, and I slapped it on the back of my laptop. And the other artist is, what is her name? She was the Art Pop winner who did the eagle.
Vanessa Thorman?
Yeah, Vanessa Thorman Watercolors. We'll put her link in there too.
Have the last name wrong.
We'll put
her
the
first name is Vanessa.
Yeah. And she is a watercolor artist in Charlotte. She was one of the winners of the Art Pop award for 2025, and she does birds. And I discovered her. I didn't even know she was the Art Pop winner. I had seen one of her pieces at the Mint Museum. It was hanging next to a few pieces over from Zona's piece, and it was a warbler? Mm. Oh, wren. It was a wren.
It was a wren.
And it was just so perfect. It was
very cute.
Yeah, it was very cute. It wasn't too busy. It was very, you know, it was simple, but it was detailed at the same time, and I really appreciated her work, and I had reached out to her, and she said, I said, I wanted to buy a print of it, and she said she wasn't going to sell the prints because she hadn't sold the original yet, and then I was over at a market, and I ran into her, and she said that she had sold the piece, and she had prints of it, didn't get a chance to buy it, and then I ran into her again at the Art Pop event, and finally... I bought a copy of it. I bought the print, and Now it is hanging up in my office that used to be Matthew's room, alongside several other pieces that I bought from other local artists. So really, really impressed with her work and one of my favorite artists that I discovered this year.
Very cool.
I got a bunny from her and she named it Some Bunny to Love. It's a very cute bunny.
That's very fun.
It's funny because I saw the wren. I was able to get a sneak peek of the art that was going to go up in the Mitt Museum before they hung it up. And I noticed the wren. And I saw it and I was like, I guarantee Brian's going to like this particular painting. And that was the one that he noticed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I knew this is the one that he was going to notice when he did the walkthrough. And that was the one that he noticed. Yeah. That was very funny.
The other art show was the Venus flytraps. I forget his name, but
I don't remember.
Yeah. I have a very particular
art
taste.
Illustrator.
How about you two? Have you, Renee, Zona, have you discovered anybody this year? I know you're so busy making the art, you don't always have the time to.
I haven't really discovered anyone new online. There was this one graphic artist and she made like all sorts of little doodles, like everything on her iPad, right? But it was kind of like children illustrations, like for children's books, kind of that style. And she had this really, really cute, it was like some poppies with some bumblebees on it, and the bees, their eyes are like super big. And they're just so adorable, but I don't remember her name or, like, we have the print because I bought the print, but I don't remember her name or her business.
Bumblebees are right up your alley.
Yeah, and one of them has, like, a really fuzzy butt sticking out of a flower, and that's, like, so my thing, so.
Do you think it's on the back of the print?
Maybe.
Do you want me to take a look?
No.
Okay.
if you can find out, we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. We will see what we can find.
I'm surprised you didn't say Keith.
You know what? Because I wasn't thinking pottery. Mm. But yeah, I mean, Keith.
Keith Myers pottery.
Keith Myers. He was an artist I had discovered at a local pottery event, and I don't know. Did I show you guys the teapot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was making these teapots, and they were just so unusual and so unique and so different from anything else I had ever seen. But they were out of my price range. But you know, as a birthday gift, Zona decided that was what she was going to get for me. She was going to get a custom piece from him, and I absolutely love it. It is fantastic. Sometimes you think art, and you're just thinking, you know. Hang on the wall type of stuff, but that's absolutely, it's functional art.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I'm trying to remember the name of the artist. Well, it's a shop. I have the bag.
You gotta give me more to work with.
Catacorn?
Huh? Is that pottery?
No. Well, it is pottery. The Catacorn? The Catacorn store, I think, is the name of the shop.
Well, we'll find it. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. But she does pottery, and it's all cat stuff.
Yes, of course.
Seems like it'll be up your alley.
But she just makes really cute, like, mugs and stuff. But it's more than just mugs. It was mugs and dishes and jewelry. And it was cat-themed, but it wasn't just that it was cat-themed.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with how she made them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a look. I just like the look. There was another artist at the pottery a guild that I liked, but I can't remember the name of that artist either. But I have their business card.
Yeah.
Which means we can put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes.
Awesome. Okay, so, well, Renee just stepped away, but I did have one other question, because I figured we can kind of cap this episode off with what are we looking forward to in 2026?
I mean, I'll go first. We are definitely looking forward to Bar Harbor 2 to see if it's a fluke.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah. If nothing else, we love the opportunity to travel up there anyway. And if it's not a fluke, then we can like cement it as a consistent, like, oh, I get to go to Maine every year. Like, that would be so cool.
I'm putting it out there in the world that it's not a fluke. I'm putting that out there. I'm putting that good vibes out there for next year.
I hope so. And then I don't know. Honestly, so far the shows we've been applying to, we've been getting rejected from. So we don't have anything else to be really like super excited about at the moment.
Ah, Tennessee. Who cares about Tennessee?
Yeah. I'm also very excited for Renee to finish her super cool triptych piece.
Nice.
Because I love the first one of it, and it'll be a set of three. So it's just going to get three times better.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see it when it's done.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to, love?
I mean, we started off the year, we rebranded a lot of things with the business. We rebranded the logo, we rebranded the website and, you know, the blog and the newsletter and everything. And we talked about evolving the business also a little bit more. We talked about doing less markets and moving more into the fine art. So I'm looking forward to moving into that. You know, I'm also looking forward to partnerships. And expanding next year.
We definitely have big plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we always have big plans, but you know, it's a matter of executing on those and yeah, seeing them come to fruition.
Making moves, making money moves, basically. We've talked about starting to really make financial decisions, making decisions that are going to hopefully work out monetarily for us.
It's got to, the business has to be profitable, right?
Yeah.
You know, trying different things to make that'll help us be, you know, that'll make us money.
Do you want to see if Renee has something she wants to add, or is she...
No, I don't. She's not feeling fantastic. I will
say, fair enough.
I will say that she's also looking forward to Bar Harbor, and
that is fair.
We'll go from there.
All right. I personally, in terms of next year, I honestly, this year's been taking a toll on me. It's been we've aggressively done a lot, and not just for the business. I'm talking about my work, you know, family stuff, just everything in general. And, you know, going to school and, you know, teaching at the school and all of these different things. I don't know. I guess I'm just hoping that next year, I'm looking forward to maybe more balance.
That's always a hard thing to chase. I have found in 2025 to deal with the hard things. I've been diving into new hobbies, and so one of them is bread baking, and that is a slow process that, for me, does a great job of keeping my life balanced.
Okay, so when I come to pick up the plank of wood from you, the canvas of wood from you, I'll also pick up some bread?
Did you tell me?
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you a list of options.
Like a nice focaccia, maybe?
A focaccia. I'm making...
Maybe a sourdough?
I don't do sourdoughs at the moment because I don't want to have to be beholden to the sourdough. But
maybe just a nice butter loaf?
Yes, we can do that. I'm making all the dinner rolls for our family's Thanksgiving, so I'm going to make like 5 dozen dinner rolls.
Do you do a croissant?
I don't do a croissant yet because I don't have croissant time. Like, they really are like, you need 8 hours to do this well.
Really? Well, yeah, I guess so.
Do you do the bread maker or do you do it all just in the oven?
My house is too small for fancy appliances. I have an oven and a counter. I knead it by hand and it goes in the oven. Which is another reason to avoid croissants, because you really need like table space to roll it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will look forward. I'm not going to hold you to it, but if you can, I would love to bring a loaf of fresh bread up to when I go see my parents in Pennsylvania. That would be lovely.
God, parents love bread.
I'll build it into
my family.
I'll build it into the price.
I will pay it. I will. I trust your baking abilities enough to pay up front.
Okay.
So this is the bill for a canvas and 2 loaves of bread.
Do I get a discount on the bread for buying the canvas?
Yeah, we'll make it work out.
We'll work it out. I'd love to see that bill.
The better thing would be if you get a discount on the canvas for buying the bread.
I feel like since your primary source of income is wood, like that would be the one that I think would have to be the driving factor. Like that would have to be the one that drives the price.
Yeah, but you know, if a loaf of bread will clinch the deal and make you come from North Carolina to pick it up, then I'm willing to throw that in.
It's a business model idea.
There you go.
Every order that you send out comes with
a loaf of bread.
Comes with several dinner rolls. They'll be hard as a rock by the time they arrive.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
The wood will be greasy. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
You just sand it out. Out the grease spot. Yeah. Work it into the burn.
Well, it was lovely talking to you all again. Mm-hmm. I am very much looking forward to next season of Pyro Toasty Talks. Did you guys have anything that you wanted to add?
I don't think so. Happy end of 2025, holidays, and start of 2026 to everyone.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And
happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
This might go out after Thanksgiving.
Happy, healthy holiday season.
Yeah.
Eat lots. Be safe.
And we'll see you all in 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As always. As always, we are Brian and Zona of BZ Furfur. You can find us on Instagram at BZ_Furfur. Our friends David and Renee can be found on Instagram at It's David and Renee. Pyro Toasty Talks is at Pyro Toasty Talks. We also have a website, pyrotoastytalks.com. There you can listen to episode streaming. You can connect to our Discord, where you can chat with us about the episodes and give us ideas for future episodes. We also have some swag there if you want to make some purchases and help fund the show. We can always use the extra money for the overhead fees of keeping this podcast alive. That is going to be it for us today. And stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
And buttery.